Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I have a trading problem.
I am Tommy B, and I too have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 362 of the Trade Addicts Podcast. And I cannot remember how Frank opens the show now that we're not a member of the DAP Network. So I am just not going to do that. I'm just going to give Tommy a little DAP here while we're sitting here so that we don't go DAPless. But I'm sorry, Frank, I forgot the opening. But so as you can hear, though, Frank is not here. So that's why we're not getting a Frank opening, which is his little rhyme that we don't have a network anymore. But we do have Tommy Blair at FF Tommy B. Tommy, why don't you tell everybody who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah. First, Rocky, I dig the hat. Is that a new hat? I've never seen this one before.
No, this is actually a Super, I don't know if you can see it, Super Bowl 52 hat. Rad. I haven't gotten a Super Bowl 59 hat, but yeah,
okay, cool.
When the Eagles won with Foles, it's a Super Bowl hat.
There you go, Philly special. I'm Tommy Blair at FF Tommy B over on Blue Sky, not on Twitter anymore. Co-host of the Superflex Super Show with John Hogue, the great John Hogue. Formerly of Trade Addicts and Dynasty Junkies with you, Rocky. So
yes,
it's Frank, great to be back home, man.
Yeah, Frank actually writes up the tweets and I just copy them and put them out because I have more followers. So we don't think it's more questions. You didn't hear that though. But he mentioned in there, he put it, so it's a Junkies takeover because Tommy has been a great co-host before. Love having him on every time we have him on now. Just recently had me on the Superflex show, which I enjoyed a lot. So we're going to get right into it. And Frank is not here, but he still gave me some news to talk about and his question of the week. So we'll get right into it. Who is the rookie? His question of the week was, who is the rookie that could really rise up rankings if they landed in the quote unquote right place? And he says, for example, Colston Loveland to the Chargers. Do you have anybody in mind, Tommy?
You know, Rocky, we never agree on anything, it seems, whenever we're on air together. But I came up with two just in case we had the same answer. Did you have one top of mind?
I didn't really have a good answer because I am like way behind on my rookie stuff. But I have a very general dumb answer, which is what I'll call the easy answer, which is any running back that goes to the Dallas Cowboys.
There you go. I love it, man. It's a great answer, isn't it? Like,
yeah, I don't care who it is. I think any running back, as long as he's day two, at least, I think any running back that goes to Dallas Cowboys is going to shoot up way up, especially if it's not like a top guy like Gentee or Hampton or whoever. It's they're definitely going to go up a lot in terms just because of the landing spot.
Can I ask you a question related to the Cowboys?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that the Cowboys do draft a running back, but it's not until like the late third or early fourth round, but that's the only running back they take. The backfield remains pristine, except this one rookie. Where roughly do you think they're going to land in ADP? Because we know, Rock, that like fourth round, late third round, early fourth round running back, like that's not great draft capital. And I'm imagining there's going to be at least a few running backs in the first and second round that are going to be drafted this year.
Yeah, I think in that case, it's probably, my guess would be early second. I think it's still going to, it might be a guy who would have gone in the third or even fourth, But because the landing spot, it will, especially like you said, if they don't bring, if it's just him and Javonte, and that's basically it, I think he goes early second. Because yeah, I think there's enough good prospects in this draft that unless they like get Zach Charbonnet or something, they're gonna fill up a lot of the first round. And obviously, we have you know, probably a couple quarterbacks, at least one, Tet, Ibuka, you know, some of the other receivers, and then I think he, that guy probably still sneaks into the early second if he's viewed as like the likely starter, or at least a 50-50 split with Javonte. Would you agree with that? Or you think it's higher or lower?
I think historically you're kind of right on the mark. That's sort of the Trey Sermon area, you know, yes, the 1-2 turn. And it's scary, isn't it, Rocky, where like you're not only making a situation take, but you're making a player take because the draft capital isn't backing it up, especially in a class where, I don't know, we're going to have to, at a certain point, start ignoring draft capital at the running back position. But I don't know if I want to do it at the 1-2 turn, because I think there's going to be more highly drafted players at that position that are going to be available when I'm drafting with my 112 or 201.
And yeah, when it comes to draft capital, I'm a guy, I don't like to pump guys up because of draft capital. Like, I know there'll be, like, if there's a first round receiver that I like, I think Jalen Hyatt went in the first round, right? Yeah, and I didn't like him at all. So, and we saw how that's played out. So I don't like to pump guys up just because, you know, people, I know a lot of fantasy experts, especially data guys, like to say first round draft capital, you know, you got to do X, Y, Z with them. But I definitely do like to pump guy, or not, I guess pump guys down is not the right word, but like knock guys down a little bit for draft capital. And so, yeah, if the Cowboys are drafting a guy in the fourth round on day three, he probably shouldn't be going in the second. But I think that's where he's going to, his ADP is going to land.
Yeah, I think you're right. I had two names that aren't the Dallas Cowboys eventual running back, because I do think they're going to draft somebody. But a wide receiver, let's start off with Travis Hunter. I've seen just wildly disparate valuations of Travis Hunter, and fairly so, probably. We're talking in the Superflex Super Show Discord the other day about, like, is there a player that could truly be Thanos'd more than Travis Hunter? Like, he could be an excellent, an all-pro player and still be entirely worthless in fantasy football because he can also play cornerback, right? He could be a potentially, I mean, elite top 12 valued wide receiver as well. And so there's this a draft capital argument. Is he going to be drafted as highly as we think, you know, somewhere in the top five? If so, what position is he going to play predominantly?
That's solely? What I was just going to ask. Like, maybe it's my ignorance and I haven't been following the real NFL draft enough, but like my understanding, at least from a few weeks to a month ago, maybe, was that it was leaning more that he was going to be primarily a cornerback. Is talk of that, I mean, maybe you've heard more than me, is talk of that change? I'd be super worried about drafting Travis Hunter in fantasy, because at least until I look into it more, from what I've heard, it doesn't sound like he's going to be primarily a wide receiver, unless I'm totally wrong on that. You can tell me that now.
I don't know. I think anybody who says that they know is probably trying to sell you something, you know?
Okay.
And we're not going to have that full reveal of training camp reps, of camp highlights, of, you know, the whispers of, oh, he had, you know, 50 reps here, he had 27 reps there. We don't know. And there's a lot of upside in the unknown, because if you look at just the wide receiver position and Travis Hunter, he's probably the number one overall rookie wide receiver if that's the only position that he plays.
Yeah.
But unfortunately for us, that's just not the case, is it? So I think this is a player that could gain a ton of value if he is drafted to, let's say, the New England Patriots, and they say, you know what, we're going to teach him how to play wide receiver his rookie year. If he grows into a situational DB, great. But we're going to be trying to surround our second-year quarterback with weapons. This is one way that we can do it, because we've kind of struck out in the free agency period. This is the option that we have. We're going to take the best player, and that's Travis Hunter. He's a wide receiver. The other guy I was thinking is Travion Henderson. A, for pass catching ability, and B, because there's uncertainty whether or not he is going to have first round or second round draft capital. You look at the mock draft database and like, it kind of looks like he's right on the edge. And like you alluded to earlier, Rocky, this kind of matters at the running back position specifically. Like, it's an 80% hit rate for a top 12 finish at some point in their career if a running back is drafted in the first round. it goes down to like 60% if you're drafted in the second round. I know the difference between 32 and 33 is functionally almost nothing, but we need to look at these signposts of historical draft capital. And Travion Henderson is somebody who could be a real winner after, you know, draft night, first night.
Yeah, and I just think especially too, even more so nowadays with the way the NFL treats the running back position, if a team is thinks it's worth it to take that guy in the first round, then I feel like that almost means even more than it did like 5 years ago or 6 years ago when Saquon Barkley was getting drafted 2 overall. That kind of thing never happens. So, you know, Bijan at 8 was really high, and Gibbs at 12. So things like that, even if a guy goes in the late 20s or 30s, it's not super common for the running backs to be drafted in the first round at all. So I think the first round draft capital is huge for running backs.
Thankfully for most of us, we don't have to make those decisions right now, do we?
Yeah. Roman in the chat asked that if the Cowboys have any draft picks to be able to get Charbonnet. So I just figured I'd check that out for him. They do have their own first, second, third, and then everything after that's fifth. I don't know what you'd even give up for Charbonnet. So I'm guessing they would probably rather just use that second or third on a rookie running back than drafting Zach Charbonnet.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of like middle of roster capital either that they could trade away from their current players. So yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think there are going to be running backs traded during the draft, though. I think it's going to be a pretty wild rookie draft. Yeah,
and watch the Cowboys not even draft one in those first three rounds or something. Yeah. And like I said, they don't even have a fourth currently. So if that happens, yeah, then it's that guy's really, if that guy gets pumped up to the early second, he might be a fifth round draft pick if they don't take one of the first three rounds.
Totally.
But we will get into the news, the manufactured news that Frank comes up with for us at this point of the season where not much is happening. Geno Smith signed a 2-year, $85.5 million contract, $67 million guaranteed. Yeah, because Geno Smith is worth that. feels like a real 2-year contract Frank's put on here. Tommy, does this affect your ranking surrounding Geno at all, knowing he will be there, at least looks like locked in 2 years with that guarantee?
Luckily, I don't have to do rankings, but I looked up the Fantasy Pros expert consensus ranking, and I saw that Geno right now looks about to be the QB30, which feels fair. I mean, maybe a little bit underrated, but you look at players around him, and Stafford, I think, is right above him, Cousins below, and Jackson Dart right next to Geno Smith. And so I see a lot of like arbitrage opportunities to get something on top if that's really where he's valued, because Jackson Dart is one of those other players who could see a big value gain and sneak into like a 111, 112 in your rookie drafts. I don't know. I think there's some movement or some flexibility with Geno Smith, the asset right now. Do you agree, Rocky?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it changes much for me, the guarantee. I mean, I guess I did not expect he would be there for the next 2 years. So I guess that is good to know. But I have very little interest in Geno in Las Vegas. So I'm just not sure how much it changes for me. I just don't think people value Geno. Like you said, he's QB30. And that's actually where he is on DLF's rank as well, is QB30. So I don't really want to acquire him. I don't really want to get Geno in a piece for something better. And I know you said Jackson Dart is in the same range. I still don't know that anybody's trading Geno wants to give up a young quarterback that they got their hands on, even if he's not starting for Geno Smith.
Yeah, there's a weird disparity in fantasy assets this time of year. I did see a lot of like Geno Smith for a second, a 26 or a 27th second, sometimes a 2 and a 3. That feels fair to me. I mean, yeah, if you've got a contending team, if you've got maybe Anthony Richardson or maybe a less stable quarterback archetype, layering in Geno as your QB3 or 4, that's fine. I mean, at the cost of a second, what are we doing here? It's fine.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. If you're desperate for a quarterback, I can see doing that. But I feel like I'd almost, to be perfectly honest, I'd almost rather start somebody else in my super flex spot over Geno Smith, even if he's not a quarterback. trade those 2 seconds for an old running back that's going to score a bunch of points this year or something. So that'd probably be, I've never liked Geno, even once he had, had that 1 year. I was like, dude's going to turn into a pumpkin next year again. And he pretty much did. So, and it's not like he's overflowing with weapons, you know, in his new spot. So I just don't see the upside, even in terms of like what I like to do and getting the cheap quarterbacks and hoping they can be, you know, low end one, high end two. He does not have that kind of upside. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a middle tier team right now and you want to play out the first 4 weeks of the season and see how good your team really is, he's not a bad adder right now. If you can get him for like an actual 212, knowing that you can probably get out for a 26 or 27 second if it's not going well.
Yeah. I lower half two, I would do it. Yeah. Just to get some, you know, to have a quarterback, if you're that worried about having a quarterback. But anything top half of the second, I'm not even considering. So, next, Trey McBride, 4 years, $76 million extension with the Cardinals. I don't think this really changes anything. We thought he was probably likely going to be there with the Cardinals for a while, unless you think there's anything noteworthy about him being locked in now.
Not really, because the tight end position is really two players at the top and then a whole bunch of guys right after, probably six or seven veteran tight ends that we're not really sure what to do with, a couple rookies coming in. It's kind of a stuck market at the very top. Have you tried trading into McBride or Bowers, Rocky?
Not recently. No, I actually was in on especially Bowers early in drafts. And I have a handful of shares that, you know, we've talked on the pod about my love of Bowers.
Yeah.
And I have a handful of shares. I haven't tried trading for him because I do think it's the price is probably too expensive for probably either guy.
It is. And if you want McBride, probably wait until after day two of the NFL draft. I'm assuming that the Cardinals are going to be bringing in some sort of a wide receiver or pass catcher, somebody. And if there's ever going to be a chink in that armor in terms of getting that guy on your team, I think McBride is going to be most available then.
Okay, and rumors are the Jets are looking at a committee and Breece Hall could be traded if Genty is there at 7. I think the GM said that or somebody said that over there.
Jets.
Where are you at on Breece Hall? I'm curious. Like this, I definitely does seem concerning. I mean, some of this could be coach speak, but I think I saw somewhere that I forget who their OC is. I apologize, but I think I read like he had an OC that came from a split backfield type running back team. So Breece Hall's always a concern for me because he's a Jet. So and I never, that offense is like never good. So I think I have one share of Breece Hall and I probably should be trying to sell it harder than I am because I'm kind of out on Breece. I know he's still performed well as a Jet, but with each passing year it gets scarier and scarier to me.
Yeah, I caught a little flack last year because I compared Breece Hall to some mix of Kenneth Walker and Rashad White. Like he's a great pass catcher. I'm not going to deny that in any way. But a lot of the running plays are -1, -1, 14-yard gain type plays. And offensive coordinators just hate that. They don't like having that type of running back in their backfield. And so what I was proposing last year was trade away Breece Hall into CMC, Saquon, or Derrick Henry and get a first on top, right? Like get into this class. It's obviously too late to do that. The real takeaway from this, for me at least, is every single offensive coordinator wants to have a running back by committee because that means they have multiple good running backs. They've identified 3 decent running backs that have fairly divergent skill sets. Is this the end of Breece Hall? I really highly doubt that. This is the silly season right now. He is going to be a useful fantasy piece, regardless of whether he is a Jet or not, because he is a good pass catcher. This is the first time that I think Breece Hall is a buy, potentially. am I buying today? No, because there's a bunch of really good running backs. He's starting to blend in a little bit more in the dynasty landscape. And so I'm just willing to wait it out a little bit and seek out the deals that are too good to pass up, because I am seeing some of those. I'm seeing Breece Hall for the 107 or 108. And that's when I start to become interested. I think when you're on the clock with your rookie picks later in the first round, there are going to be opportunities to bring Breece onto your team.
Yeah, and if that second part of the news blurb is true, Breece Hall gets traded if Gentee is there at seven, I mean, that could be a boon for Breece Hall, depending on where he goes. So it's not a bad idea if you can get him, you know, at a much cheaper price than he probably was going for, you know, just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, kind of the life cycle of a running back, right? Like, this is a pretty natural thing.
Yeah. So the Colts, Shane Steichen says that Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones will split snaps in the offseason. The main question I wanted to ask about this one is just because we haven't talked in a while on specific players. Where are you at on Anthony Richardson?
I am so much higher than consensus that it kind of scares me a little bit.
We did talk a little bit about him on the Super Show. I think I remember you saying that.
Yeah. I mean, you look at him and the underlying metrics are just like mind-boggling. He could be like a true like game wrecking fantasy asset. He's probably not going to be, but he's so cheap right now that Richardson is probably the most high variance buy at the quarterback position. I traded a 203 for Anthony Richardson and I got a 312 back.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably worth the shot at that point. Like, it's, exactly. It's somehow he gets unlocked and yeah, with the running ability, he did look decent from a fantasy perspective in his rookie year before he got hurt. It was a little more shakier last year, but yeah, so I kind of agree with you. And Daniel Jones, I don't really have anything to say about in terms of this. I mean, I guess he could get some starting snaps, you know, if Richardson just totally tanks and they decide this is it because it's been we're in the third year now and we're done. But I don't expect a lot, even if Daniel Jones is in there.
Absolutely not. But what it tells you is hang on to, pick up, trade for very cheaply, not with liquid capital, but with veteran players. Trade for these 101, 102, 103 NFL drafted quarterbacks. When you have a quarterback that is drafted that highly, they stick around for a long time. They get more opportunities than the lower drafted folks. Right now you have a sell window. I traded Daniel Jones away for a second to an Anthony Richardson manager. It was a 2027 second, but you know what? I got him for less than that. I'll say that. And yeah, like, that's what you do. That's how you play the game with all the Daniel Joneses of the world.
Speaking of not super significant quarterbacks, Joe Milton was traded to the Cowboys, which Frank comments is just a weird trade all around. I don't really, I know Frank has commented some about this in the cool, because I don't really know much about Joe Milton. I know there was talk that the Patriots wanted to ship him somewhere where he could play, and then they shipped him to the Cowboys or something, they're get a chance to play. I don't think this really affects anything with Joe Milton or with Dak Prescott. So I'm just going to move on unless you want to comment on that.
I just want to say he has like a Paul Bunyan-esque sort of like legacy. And so if there is a player who can unseat Dak, is it Joe Milton? I don't think so, but I love watching him uncork like a 60-yard bomb because he does it in a way that no other quarterback can. Mm-hmm. It's kind of unfortunate he landed with the Cowboys because I was excited for the potential of what he could be.
And he also, in I guess, sort of quarterback news, is that Adam Schefter said it looks like it will be Travis Hunter at 2 to Cleveland, which would leave them with no real QB for 2025. My main comment on this was, this is exactly, I think, what it was either last week or 2 weeks ago what I said, is that Cleveland absolutely should be passing on QB in this draft. Even if Ward was there at 2, I kind of think they should be passing. But especially if he goes 1, I just don't think anyone's all that worthy of that pick. And I think that team is going to be bad this year anyway. And you can maybe get a better prospect in 26 or even 27 as you build the rest of your team up, instead of wasting a couple years of the well, if you were to draft with Sanders, I would say wasting a couple years in a guy who's not going to pan out, or you're potentially wasting a couple years, even if you had someone good you could draft, on their rookie contract running, you know, just the clock ticking on that before then you have to pay that guy.
This is the time of year that just drives me nuts as a dynasty manager, because I don't particularly love rookies. I don't love the draft. I know that's kind of an oddity, but like, can we just get to the NFL draft already so we don't have to like figure out all these different like iterations, permutations of what the Cleveland freaking Browns are going to do?
Right. I'm kind of with you there. Yeah. And the rookie season goes, especially with the us dynasty heads, goes on way too long with the, you know, kind of overanalyzing these guys over and over again. So, and then just some minor news that Frank threw on here. I'm just going to go through all this real quick. Case Keenum to the Bears on a 1-year deal as the backup. Trey Lance to the Chargers on a 1-year deal. Frank says, good to know the handcuffs for high-end QBs. Teron Armstead retiring, big loss for the Dolphins line. And Julio, former Eagle, Julio Jones announces his retirement.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to one of the best fantasy wide receivers. I don't think any of that's really fantasy relevant, but we would just like to round out the news here. So with that, we have our couple trades. A few listener questions, not a ton this week on either end, but Tommy, which do you want to do first, the trades or the questions?
Let's knock out some trades, man.
Okay, we'll go to the trades, both in TA8. And reminder, Trade Addicts Leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR, 1.75 tight end premium with 0.05 per return yard, except TA1. But as I said, there are no TA1 trades, both in TA8, which has been pretty active this offseason. I think it has to do with we got a few new managers in there and dispersal, and they've been kind of pumping it up because a lot of the last couple of years have not been super active in TA8, especially this point in the offseason. But okay, first one though. Very simple. Devon Achane for the 111. Which size you want, Tommy?
I like Devon Achane, the player, more than what I'm probably gonna get at the 111. But right now, I mean, it's so tough to get into some of these picks. And I kind of want to see if my league mates are going to make a mistake and let somebody that is worth more than the 111 fall to me. So I'll take the liquidity today. I may regret that. Feels like a fair trade. What about you, Rocky?
I think it's pretty fair. I am an Achane stan, and I get more I feel like I get more locked into certain, sort of like Russ, get more locked into certain players than you do probably, Tommy.
Yeah.
So I think I would take Achane here for me. Because like you said, I think he is better than what you're likely to get at the 111. I think he's better than most of what you could trade for with the 111. So
yeah.
I just think there's real high-end potential there. He's a potential week winner to me every week. Just the way he can go off, even if he's not going to be like RB2 for the whole season, he's going to have multiple, I think, top five RB weeks. Again, it's just a guy it's so funny because like I've said this multiple times on the pod before, there's guys I don't like coming out, and then when they turn me, they really turn me. And that was Achane. I was not an Achane fan, when he came out and looking at his film in that class. And then he just, I've been super impressed and I've just like swung completely the other way. So
yeah,
for me, that one's pretty easy for me. I'm trying to think where I would even kind of balk at that. It might be like at the 108-ish, 107, 108. I would, Achane slander will not be tolerated, says Tony. I'm with you, Rocky. But yeah, I would think I would have to, like, before I'd say no, I'd probably have to get up to 108 or 107. I, for any kind of latish first, I think I would trade for Achane.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, I totally get your perspective too. I know a lot of people, just you like to get into the, like you said, what you can turn those picks into, or like you said, if depending on your league, if they let somebody slide to the 111 that you think shouldn't be there, it can be a game changer too.
Totally.
The other trade we have, is kind of a big one. Jalen Hurts for Michael Penix, 27 first and a 27 second. I'm going to comment real fast before I go to you. And when I saw this trade, I'm like, has Jalen Hurts stock fallen that far? Because to me, that's what this trade feels like. I'm like, this seems light for Hurts. I'll maybe get a little more in detail into why I think that, but I was going to let you go now. That was my initial thought seeing the trade.
My initial thought is, where the hell are we valuing Michael Penix?
Yeah, true too.
So again, Fantasy Pros ECR, QB21. Tua is right around there. Shador right below. Cam Ward right above, which tells me, wait a minute, is Michael Penix like worth the 103 or 104, somewhere around there. Like, that is kind of the range that that's suggesting. Or maybe there's a tier break somewhere within. This needs to reorder, reorganize. I don't love that valuation of Penix. We've only had two real games, and Penix threw for like 200 yards and a pick each time. I guess we can respect the draft capital. Like, that's part of the bet here is, like, I think Penix is going to live up to the draft capital. He's in real fertile grounds. I mean, isn't he, Rocky? Like, the Atlanta Falcons have a great infrastructure around Penix. And then I guess you're betting that, you know, the 27 first is going to be high. That's really the only thing that makes sense to me is you are trying to take advantage of somebody that you just think isn't fundamentally a great manager is the only reason that I would even consider trading away Jalen Hurts for this type of deal. But even then, I don't know if I could hit the accept button if it was, you know, somebody that I'd seen a long track record of them being a bad manager, because it's Jalen freaking Hurts, like top five quarterback, top five startup pick, somebody who today can lead my team to Jeremiah Sitlotto. Yeah, exactly. Someone who can lead my team this year and next year and in 2027. I don't need to do any of that guessing. I hate guessing at quarterback, and you don't have to with him, do you?
No, and that's exactly what I was thinking. That's the point I was going to make is, I mean, the guy just came off a friggin' Super Bowl win. You know, not only is he good, not only is he really good from a fantasy perspective, but he's locked in. He's going to be the Eagles quarterback for it. Like, he would have to be unbelievably bad for multiple years, I think, to not, you know, to lose that job anytime, like, in the next, like, 5 years. And there's no reason to expect his point scoring to fall off. You know, he's got the rushing ability. It doesn't seem like they're banning the tush push. And even if they did, I think Jalen quarterbacks could normal quarterback sneak a lot of those touchdowns anyway. So,
yeah.
I'm just going to say I'm a proponent of trading down sometimes for quarterback, like tearing down, but this is like a triple tier down or something. And I don't love that the picks are in 27 either. Like, even if I valued Penix more highly than either of us do, waiting 2 years for those picks is a little much for me. And everything you're getting for a known quantity in Jalen Hurts is a question mark, which is also an issue for me. So, if whoever made this trade is listening, I'm sorry, but I just don't see it.
I mean, maybe they're tearing their team down, right? And they're trying to do a J Mike invite for 26 and 27, scrub the points off their team. There's a lot of different ways to build rosters. And in TA leagues, the whole point is to have fun and to do things differently. It's literally in the bylaws to take risks and be different and to try and experiment as a dynasty manager. I respect somebody doing that, even if it's maybe not the most value savvy move.
Yeah, and Tony in the chat says, exactly, dude squats 600 pounds, doesn't need the tush push. And what I think people don't realize, like, these people trying to ban it, like, it's basically just the push almost never, I think I've said this on the pod before too, the push almost never is what gets them the yards. Like, they do it just because, why not? Because you can, but there's usually, it's the way they run the sneak and the strength of Jalen Hurts that usually gets them the yards, and then they push to get an extra yard on two on top of it, basically. It basically makes the sneak a 1.5 yard play into a 2.5 to 3 yard play is what it does.
Yep.
But we'll move on. That's, like I said, the only two trades we got. So we'll move on to the listener questions. I said to Tommy, we do have a few, but I said to Tommy before we started, this might be the one of the shorter Trade Addicts pods in a while. I think we're actually going to squeak this one in under an hour. Since I think we're only a half hour in. But we do have, I think, four questions here. So maybe we can ramble on enough to go over an hour. We'll see. but first comes from Dynastud, at Football Dynastud, or FT Ball Dynastud. In a Superflex tight end premium league, where do you see the tier breaks in the second half of the first round? Friend and I co-manage a team with 109, and we see a top 10 to 11 with current draft capital projections. Obviously, subject to change with real draft capital, though. I'm mostly going to let you talk about this, Tommy, because like I said, I don't feel confident in it. I'm going to really need to cram, honestly, before the draft to really have concrete. You know, I obviously know most of these names and a lot of the guys and have an idea somewhat on draft capital. But I feel like you probably are kind of a little more knowledgeable on this than I am, even not being a rookie guy.
Well, I stand on the Dynasty Dummies' shoulders, J. Mike, Zach Reed.
I'm behind my Dynasty Dummies, too, so that's a problem.
Yeah, they know rookies. I don't know rookies at all. But in my head, I've sort of got these numbers at the various positions, and it gets really interesting in the second half, right? Like, so I think there's going to be, in our rookie drafts, three wide receivers that are going to fall somewhere in the top 12 of our rookie drafts. I think there's probably going to be two quarterbacks. Shador or Jackson Dart is likely to be the second, Cam Ward being the first. And then I think there's going to be three running backs that are drafted in the top 35-ish picks that are going to, again, fall pretty comfortably in our first rounds. Maybe a tight end as well, right? These are tight end premium leagues.
I think Tyler Warren's projected pretty highly in the NFL draft, which means he'll probably be a first rounder in our drafts. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, maybe even in like the top 10 or 15 in the NFL draft. And so I think we can probably put, you know, the number one in pencil at the tight end position in our first rounds. And then it gets really interesting because I think there's going to be a lot more running backs. And we haven't yet filled all of the seats in the musical chairs game. And some of those landing spots are going to be juicy. Like you mentioned, Dallas Cowboys could be one of them. Maybe the Chargers, you know, we could go on and on about some of these potential landing spots. And so I think we're going to have a few running backs pushed up into the first round based mostly on landing spots supported somewhat by draft capital. So I'm again, putting in pencil three running backs there and then a second tight end as well. So what does that put me at? That's like what, like 12-ish players. So right around the 1-2 turn, I think is where it's going to get real saucy in our rookie drafts, where you're going to have to start making bets, where draft capital is going to be suggestive, but not fully instructive. And so it's at that point that you need to rely on the Dynasty Dummies. You need to rely on your own valuations beyond draft capital. So anywhere between 109 and, you know, the 202 is where I think that potential tier break is going to fall. And it depends on individual manager evaluations. What do you think, Rocky?
I mean, like I said, I'm curious. Well, I was going to ask you actually. So I'm going to, instead of answering your question, like I said, I don't feel confident on how like tiered these guys are. Maybe you don't either, but in the first round, like, do you see a big break somewhere in like the six, a lot of years we see like a top five, top six, top seven, top eight, that we're like comfortable with. And it doesn't seem like there's a massive tier up top this year. So, I mean, it sounds like it's Genty and then there's like question marks on almost like everyone else. So, including the top quarterback. I would even say some people have questions about Tet McMillan, who's often viewed as the top wide receiver. So I would say there's obviously a tier break after the 101, which I think everyone is projecting is Genty. But do you see another clear tier break in the first round after that?
My guess, it's just a guess today, is that...
Right, and there's still a lot to factor in, but yeah, pre-draft.
Yeah, so I'm wondering how ubiquitous the Genty pick is going to be at 101. I think Cam Ward could occupy the 101 slot in like 25 to 33% of leagues once we get through into May. I don't think the Genty pick is going to be overwhelming in terms of selecting him at 101. I think he's going to fall to 102 to some degree. Whether or not that's the right move, I mean, that depends partially on your roster build, what you believe in Cam Ward. So I'm extending tier one to the 102. I think there's two players that are going to be highly, highly valued in your rookie drafts. And then, I see Judkins, Hampton, and then Travion Henderson as like very desirable running backs. But I'm more of a running backs guy. And so I am going to value those slots wherever they end up, probably higher than consensus. And I think they're all going to be in that, top seven, eight-ish. And I think we're going to mix in the quarterback and tight end. So when you get those people who have biases, or needs toward those two positions, I think that's going to lock those players in as well as highly desirable. I could see it being, you know, really advantageous to hold the 109 or the 110 with a very, like, yes, fluid, but highly valued set of assets, really from the 103 to the 109.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me, just from what, like I said, what I do know at this point and what I have been hearing. But we'll get into Dynastud has two of our questions here, so we'll get into question two. Some subset of running backs have low value at this stage due to fear of draft nuking. So I guess he means them drafting someone else over that guy or with that guy. Any guys you're targeting where you think this concern is overblown? For example, Brian Robinson getting nuked doesn't make sense to me. They had a chance last year and went cheap, and Robinson was good. Any guys that stick out to you in that way?
Yeah, I don't think the risk is overblown for literally almost anybody at the running back position. I think there's legitimate risk this year. That said, are there buy lows? I think that's the general question. I've got a list for you, Rocky. Why don't you pick out a name or two from this group? I've got Aaron Jones, ETN, Eckler, CMC, Dobbins, Dowdle, and Jonathan Brooks. All as players that I am willing to trade into at their current market values. A, because I feel like they're depressed, and B, because even if rookies are drafted into those landing spots, I still foresee a role. Even if we're only starting Austin Eckler for three games, that has utility early on in the year, doesn't it?
Yeah. And one of the interesting names you said there to me, because I've never, since he's been drafted, known how to judge this guy, is ETN.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's had some pretty good highs and some not so great games. Not so great years, or at least 1 year as well. So I do think that could be, I'm not sure the concern is overblown with him for me, because you're saying you think it is because he would have a role in that situation, or like, for me, there would be concern that I don't know that they're going to draft a running back super high, but if they did draft a day two guy, I would be concerned about ETN.
I listen to smarter people than myself when it comes to rookie evals, and the number I've heard is 30 draftable running backs in this class. So it's not like a matter of, well, if they draft a running back, most of these teams are going to draft a or multiple running backs, and they're going to muddy up these backfields. We talked about Charbonnet earlier. Those types of situations, Charbonnet, Ken Walker, are going to happen. It's just buying at these depressed prices and relying on the draft capital of ETN is where I'm willing to, you know, pitch my value stake. I've traded for ETN. I think I traded the 209 or the 210 for him. First round running back is probably going to land in a different location next year. That uncertainty pushes some managers away. The injury-riddled year that led to ineffectiveness pushes managers away. The fact that Trevor Lawrence wasn't quarterbacking that team for most of the year pushes managers away. That is the type of asset that I want to buy this time of year at the running back position. I don't want to buy certainty. I want to buy uncertainty, knowing that, yeah, I'm gonna lose some of these bets. You just have to, like, be okay with that. You don't have to win every single time you make a bet. If you have that expectation, it's going to be a really frustrating game for you.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm just kind of looking at running backs, and just to get to what he was saying about any guys you're targeting where you think the concern is overblown. I think you kind of said this. I don't know that it's definitely overblown with anyone. Like, I just don't feel any, like, that there's any guy that's absolutely safe here. Like that, like an ETN, or I guess you were saying that they will have a role, but I feel like with this draft class that I don't think these questionable guys are necessarily, not like the vets like Aaron Jones, but a guy like, or I mean, he's a vet, but and there's not a 30-year-old, but like someone like Najee Harris is someone you'd be concerned about. I don't think that concern is overblown. Mm-hmm. To me, Chase Brown is a guy who you could potentially be nervous about. And I don't think that concern is overblown. I don't think Chase Brown is a special talent that if they were, and again, I doubt that the Bengals are drafting a day two guy. You know, they have no defense. We've talked about that many times on the pod. So I would guess they're probably going to focus there. But I think most of the guys you're concerned about, I don't think it's overblown, is basically what I'm trying to say. I stumbled over my words there, but I got to the point eventually.
The only running back, veteran running back, that I do not have concerns about is David Montgomery. That's literally the only veteran running back. There probably will be a running mate with Saquon Barkley. You know, that's probably going to happen unless you believe in the scrubs that they've been rolling out behind him. I don't believe in Chicago. I have plenty of him because he was drafted in what, the fifth round, and who doesn't love running backs? I mean, yeah, that's a possibility. AJ Dillon, I guess, but like in a great running back class, there are going to be talented players that sit alongside these veterans, and that's okay. It has to be okay because we don't have a choice.
Yeah. And like you said, like, yeah, anybody could, yeah. I mean, I don't think you have to worry about Saquon Barkley getting, you know, replaced if a running back comes in. But I think his workload is going to significantly decrease almost no matter what, which kind of makes me think they probably will draft a decent running back to bring in there even. So, I mean, he's not a guy you're concerned about, but the amount of carries last year, just since you mentioned him, I wanted to bring that up. So the amount of carries last year, I think you're going to see a lot different year from Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. I mean, Alvin Kamara and CMC landed in bad situations their rookie year, and they overcame them. We're going to be surprised with what happens. It's just about taking this position at volume this year.
Okay. So our next question comes from our old friend with the junkies at Andrew Hall FF.
Hey, buddy.
I haven't gotten a question from Andrew in a while, so happy to see it. What are you paying for Tyreek, and what are you taking for him in a trade? Any thoughts on MLS as it kicks back in the spring? I think that's in relation to the Frank add-on question of what sport do you like best outside of football. So I think that's what that last part was. And MLS is not of any interest to me at all, so I don't know if it's Tommy, but I'm not a soccer guy, so...
No, sorry, buddy. We might go to a soccer game, my son and I. He's getting into it, but that's about the as far as it extends for me. Going to Tyreek Hill, though, doesn't he feel like a player that you don't want to trade liquid capital for? You're willing to trade players. You're willing to go up or down with Tyreek Hill, but trading picks, current or future, feels really, really shaky.
And if you're trading picks, I feel like he's a guy you want a first for and that you don't really want to trade a first for.
So. Yeah. And who knows? I mean, he's had cryptic tweets or whatever they call them on Twitter now.
And this was supposed to be his retirement year. I don't know if that's still the case, but a couple of years ago, he said he's retiring after 2025. So
who could say? What I want the Dolphins to do is trade for Dallas Goedert so that they have someone who can give to a little bit more time to throw deep to Tyreek and to Jaylen Waddle. But we'll see. That offense is under some form of renovation this year. I feel very strongly about that. Whether or not it involves Tyreek Hill or not, TBD. We'll see. He could be off to different pastures. So yeah, it's a confusing time with him. And it just comes down to like, how much risk do you want to take on your team? And the way to mitigate that is to trade veteran players, you know, value adjacent players into a Tyreek Hill, in my opinion.
I totally agree with you. Like you said, we both said, I think players make sense. I think paying a first is not something I want to do for Tyreek. Even if I'm on a contending team, there's always the chance he falls off, you know, as he gets older here. A lot of this game is built on speed, and speed doesn't last forever. So, I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen, but it concerns me enough that I at his age, I'm not trading a first for him, basically. And no, I feel like no one's going to want to take a second or multiple seconds even for Tyreek if they're trying to sell him. I think they're looking for at least a late first. So, yeah, I think what you said makes a lot of sense. Maybe an older running back or two or something to kind of shift, you know, the positional aspect of your roster instead of just trading picks for him.
Yeah, dig it.
And then Tone at Tony Perez 34 at the whole blue sky thing. I don't feel like reading all that. but he has a question here, And I'm also going to get, he answered the sports question that that Frank asked, which is in regard to the sports I like to watch. It's not football. I watch anything and everything. I'm a sports nut. Golf, basketball, both pro and collegiate. Baseball. UFL quenches my thirst for football during the spring. I tend to get bored with TV shows. They have to be good in order to keep my attention. But do you have a favorite sport outside of football?
I love watching cycling. I recognize fully that for most people, it's like watching paint dry. I feel the same way with things like golf. And I get the allure with all these other sports. But truly, it's mostly just like football or nothing for me. I whenever cycling is on, no matter the event, I'll watch it. You know, cyclocross, you know, Tour de France, all sorts of road races. I love that kind of stuff just because I'm an endurance cyclist. You know, it sort of gets me going. What about you, Rocky?
Yeah, I'm pretty basic. For me, after football, it's baseball. I grew up, my dad was very much a football, baseball guy also. And we would watch a lot together. Took me a little while to get into sport. I probably wasn't until I was about 11 or 12 that I was like super into sports. But once I did, we were watching baseball games all the time. So my dad kind of ingrained it into me, and I still enjoy it to this day. Basketball and hockey, the other four, you know, outside of the four major sports, I'm not big into anything like cycling or golf. I mean, I'll watch golf maybe if it's on the TV for like 10 minutes and then I'll turn it off. But yeah, it's mainly the four major sports for me. And baseball's always been the one that I enjoy the most. And even with the Phillies being kind of crappy, they've had spurts of goodness and a lot of crappiness mixed in. But at least we're in a good stretch now. So that's good. That's good.
When you're in a good baseball town, you almost can't help it. It's kind of infectious, isn't it? Where like,
yeah,
it's on at all the places you're grabbing lunch, or, you know, your roommate or your significant other has it on. It's just like, it just happens to you. Baseball happens to you when you're in a good baseball town.
Yeah. And it's just, a lot of people hate that it's kind of slow. I think it just makes it easier to just watch it and like tune in. You can miss the first three innings and sit there for the last six and you're still fine. And it's fun to watch. And you don't have to like be constantly paying attention even to see what's going on. I kind of like the aspect of it that it's not super fast paced all the time. So,
yeah.
But we'll get to Tone's question, which was for later round prospects, let's say third round and beyond. What do you guys use to help make your choices for said draft picks more likely to hit? Level of competition, age, breakout age, number of years they were a starter, your stat metrics, etc., and anything I might have missed. So, Tommy, this seems like a good question for you. What do you factor in?
I mentioned earlier standing on the shoulders of giants, and my process has changed this non-point scoring season. JJ Zacharyson put out a really interesting, at least to me, episode about a month ago, digging into what is the hit rate, what is the value in terms of production of players that are drafted in the third round and beyond, right? So these later round players. And one of the takeaways that was really, really compelling to me is that if you take and bucket all day three picks, you know, you take the position of running back, let's say, and you bucket all of the day three running backs in a given draft class, and you overlay our bias as dynasty managers, and you look at the ADP, we've all got favorites, right? Like Kamani Vidal last year was a favorite, yes, of the dynasty community, got poor draft capital, like fifth or sixth round. We were still drafting Vidal at like the 210, let's say. But there were other adjacent assets that looked a lot like Kamani Vidal, like a Tyrone Tracy, let's say. And what JJ found is that our bias, our favorites, have no bearing on the hit rate or the point per game production of these players that are day three NFL drafted picks. And so what I am doing is I am leaving the cult favorites of the dynasty space. I am willing to arbitrage into the same profiles, knowing that there is no predictive nature of our ADP once we get to that range. And so I am just going to be willing to take a future third and a later third, let's say, if I've got the 301, if someone has a Kamani Vidal type favorite, and let them have the pleasure of selecting, quote unquote, their guy. And I'll take the same exact bet and I'll kick some capital down the road.
Yeah, that's good advice as well. And I just, when I saw this question, what came to my head is I don't really do anything on terms of more likely to hit. I don't worry. I don't expect third or fourth rounders to hit like ever, even though sometimes they do. And what I do, and I've talked about this before, is I just generally tend to focus on positions. And I guess part of it is kind of playing a little bit of favorites too, though. I'm not going to trade into a guy like you were just saying in the third or fourth round. I almost never do that, but I'll have my guys I like more. And basically what I'm doing is I'm just trying to draft backup running backs and tight ends just because I feel like they're the tight ends. I feel like you often get a guy who more becomes something from that later area, at least something you can start. And especially and a lot of people tend to have these guys they fall in love with in the later tight ends. I find more than even wide receivers. Like there's just like certain tight ends people like. But more importantly, the running back position is just that's where I think you can get value because these guys pop up all the time, even if they don't start, even if they never start, like as the quote unquote, unquestioned starter, that these guys get a month. These guys get a year even, like you said, Tyrone Tracy, you probably could have drafted in the fourth round last year and you could have gotten at least a second for him in season or something like that, maybe more. And there's just these backup guys that come in all the time, start for 3 weeks and you can get a second, those 3 weeks happen to be in December, you can get a second for that guy. I just feel like the running backs just have these like little value spikes much more than almost any other position. And personally, I find that I know we have the Puka Nacua's and an occasional other guy, but I feel like the day three wide receivers that mostly go there are ones that have like the most favorites that somebody loves X wide receiver, X or Y, Z wide receiver that's not getting drafted on third or fourth. And I don't have the hit rates, but just from my, just from my personal experience, I feel like they almost never become a legit thing outside of the occasional Puka Nacua. Like way more often they become just nothingness for years. So wide receivers I tend to ignore and I just go for the running backs. And in terms of what, like, I don't think they're necessarily more likely to hit. It's just more, like you said, listening to Zach, certain guys he might like, I might throw in there. Pacheco was a guy I drafted a lot late because JJ liked him a few years ago. So guys like that just either I hear it or, like I said, some years more than others, I try and watch film and I'll have my own little guys that I like. And like I said, not going to trade up for them. But if they fall to me at the 306 or whatever, then I'll take, one of my little pet guys that I like there.
Yeah.
But I don't really have anything that I worry about more likely to hit. I just try and take those two positions and guys that like I said, I guess you could say film watching or what smarter people tell me would be what I grade as more likely to hit, because that's the reason I end up picking those guys usually.
Yeah, those wide receivers that you're talking about have just over a 1% hit rate. When they hit, they can hit massively. And yes. So I get the allure. The thing is, have little to no allegiance to those players. If you're not getting the early reveal, get out, because there are probably going to be running backs or tight ends available on the waiver wire. And those deserve greater longevity in terms of commitment of rostership than late round wide receivers, in my opinion.
And Tommy, we did it. We're just under an hour. By the time we finish up here, it might be a full hour. We're better ramblers than I thought. So, but that is the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. I want to thank Tommy for coming on. Frank will be back next week. I actually will not. I will be taking the week off next week, planned week off. So
nice.
Frank and a guest will be on next week. But Tommy, why don't you remind everybody who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yeah, thanks again for having me on, Rocky. Love you, buddy. I'm on Blue Sky at FF Tommy B over on the Superflex Super Show. We're putting out 1 to 2 episodes a week right now, trying to get some strategy content. Rocky was on recently. So if you missed that one, great. Go back in the archives. You don't have to look very far because I love the conversation.
Okay. And finish up with our stuff. And again, I just want to thank you for coming on, Tommy. You know, you can find me at Dynasty FF Addict. Frank's at Frank in the chat on Twitter. You can follow us. You can also support us at the Patreon. If you want to see our beautiful faces, you can watch us live each week. We've had a couple people in the chat tonight. Tony, Roman, Herms showed up at the beginning. Herms is a frequent supporter of us in the chat here, which is why we get him on the show as much as we can. We also have the Cool Kids Club Discord that comes with the Patreon. So that's patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. A lot of good discussion in the Discord, too. And of course, the other main thing is just Fantasy Cares. Frank put a note on here that the Frank fantasycares.org/campaigns has Zach Reed's rookie guide now live. His Zach's write-ups are great, not just for knowledge, but the style he writes them in. So I love hearing Zach talk about rookies, either in print or on pod. So go support the people that support us. It all goes to a great cause. But that will finish us up tonight. Like I said, Frank will be here next week, and I'll be back in 2 weeks. Until then, good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLS family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe. Rate and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants.
Daddy's the best.
See ya.